Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell, and with me today I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
and Helen Gould.
And we are playing a special side quest adventure. It's within our main campaign world, but it is in a place that unfortunately you're clearly never going to get to go to, but it exists, so we're going to make it happen.
Same campaign world, different rule set.
Yeah, So unfortunately this is a little bit of an emergency side quest for us today because Lydia was taken kind of ill at the last second.
We love you, Lydia. We hope you're okay.
Yeah, feel better soon.
Have a rest, be calm, hot drinks, bad TV, that's what I do.
Nice lie down.
So, in terms of the side quest today, we are heading into the Northern Wastes. So, in this campaign world, obviously, as everyone who's already been listening to the main campaign knows, it is based on real-world geography and so on. What I haven't mentioned is Russia doesn't really exist as a place insofar as it never really got properly colonized by people because the monsters are too big and too scary. Moscow and St. Petersburg are the easternmost cities, really, that you'd consider Russian. They are not the metropolitan centers that they are in our modern world. They are much more kind of reduced in size and scale. They are kind of more like the last outposts before you enter into true wilderness. And in terms of our adventure today, are you all ready for your pre-fluff?
Yeah.
Yeah, fluff me up.
Go on, Alex. Act as Helen's fluffer.
I mean, we are all a little bit underprepared for today.
Also, if anyone doesn't understand that
on the fly,
and if anyone doesn't understand that joke, I'll tell you when you're older.
So there is actually something worth mentioning, which is I've got a vague theme sort of in the background for what this is, which is I have had about an hour, I'd say, to throw something together from zero. So what you're going to be witnessing today is what happens when I have an hour. And I'm using 5th Ed for today's game rather than Pathfinder because I can throw it together a little bit quicker.
He's really talking this one up. It's going to be very high quality.
Oh, of course it is. Mainly what you're going to see is, oh, goodness, Alex does not prep as much as we thought he did in the main campaign.
I don't know what any of my spells do.
I'm still writing my character sheet.
Bryn managed to say that I was okay to have a potion, which apparently I wasn't really, but I have it. I argued for it. I've got a filter of love.
Resistance, we'll get there. We'll get there. Right.
Fire. Oh, Infernal Legacy. Huh?
Right. Are we ready to come across both, you know, professionally and well prepared and definitely not winging
things.
It for the first time in like 3 years?
Oh, yeah. Also, we haven't recorded since mid September. It's now the start of, well, the end of October. So. Coming in hot.
Right. Woo! So, I have no written fluff, so this is on the fly. You ready? Each of you has been hired. At first, you met a representative of a secretive and reclusive, basically billionaire, an aristocrat of beyond independent means. And you were contacted by a woman named Phoebe, and she recruited you all as varying sort of adventurer types, explorer types, offering you the paycheck of a lifetime in hunt for something that's almost unfindable. So as part of doing this, I'd like to go around the table a little bit and just, we can do this on the fly a little bit. Where did you get recruited from? Where did someone come and find you and go, you are the person for this job? Starting with Bryn.
So my character is a ranger who specialises in expeditions into the Arctic forests of northern Russia and has a bunch of abilities dealing with all the giant monsters
that
live there. Like, this is his wheelhouse. Like, you know, he probably only appears in civilization, you know, once every year or two to kind of resupply, and the rest of the time he just lives in the wilderness.
Just check it's still there.
Yeah. And, you know, he's known as the kind of person who can guide an expedition, who can keep you alive in this sort of situation. And so he'll have been hired because of a small reputation in the right circles for doing exactly this kind of thing.
So what's your name and where specifically were you recruited? Like a dingy tavern bar?
Oh, yeah, definitely a dingy tavern bar.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. My name is Pyotr Ilyastovich. Pyotr is a short, wide human.
Okay.
He does look a little bit dwarven. Like, he's not like a half dwarf or anything, but it's possible that there was at least one ancestor a long time ago who was a dwarf.
So you're thinking stocky build, that kind
of thing. Sort of 5'8", 5'9", quite wide, bald head, but a big, bushy brown beard.
Gotcha.
Wears
a great big bushy beard.
I'm always thinking,
I don't know why you're miming it, just say it.
I know.
It's like, oh, we're on a podcast recording things. I remember this.
Wears a big metal breastplate, then just layers of fur both underneath and above the breastplate, all topped off with a giant fur coat.
Kind of sounds quite bear looking,
yeah.
If I'm honest.
A tiny bit beary, yeah. I'm very much not playing Larg, Son of Thor. We all remember from a certain special a long time ago.
Understood.
That party of three thanes was really,
yeah.
Awesome.
Last thing he does, he has a necklace of teeth.
Ooh.
But the teeth are all completely mismatched, and the central one is huge.
Just unnecessarily.
Yeah, it hangs from his sternum, and it almost tickles like the top of his belly.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say the central one was human, and I was like, oh my god!
It's a massive tooth. It's not clear what all the teeth are from. They're all mismatched, but yeah, just necklace of teeth as trophies.
Nice detail. Excellent. Mm. In which case, then I'm going to jump onto you, Helen.
Hello.
Where were you recruited? What's your name, and where were you found? Why were you chosen for this?
Okay. My name is Kwame, and I am a druid because I was literally raised by wolves in the mountains. Eventually, I assume some people on an expedition or some hikers, some dog walkers came across.
Joggers.
Was I one of them? Was I on this expedition?
Oh, yay, let's be friends. Yes. So Pyotr came across... I pronounced that very badly. Pyotr came across a 10-year-old little boy running with some wolves. And you were like, that doesn't look right.
Shouldn't happen. Right.
And I guess we have some history there where you brought me back to civilization. I learned how to talk.
Yeah. I wouldn't have confined you to civilization, but we've probably met a few. I probably come in and check on you occasionally just to see how you're doing.
How old are you,
right? I gained some of like the basic Oh, yeah, I'm an elf. Elven graces. And then as soon as I was like 16 or 18, whichever the age of majority is, whatever the age of majority is for an elf. I haven't played an elf before, so this is why I'm wondering.
Don't elves have massively long lifespans?
Yeah, like 120.
So your age of majority would be like 60 or something. However, also, you were not amongst elves, if that's where you are. Like, you would have been one elf among mostly not elves, so it's pretty much...
Whatever. Okay. Regardless, I will have run off back into the wilderness because I don't like people. Yeah. And that's mostly where I live. But like, it's the kind of thing where people are like, ah, there's a person in the woods. We don't see them, but sometimes we leave them we leave them a bar of chocolate and it disappears.
Mysteriously. Yes. With teeth marks.
Yes.
So if I was approached at a dingy tavern, maybe I'm also the one who recruited you for this mission.
Yeah, I guess you were like, I know who could do this. I know who's used to
We're going to the middle of nowhere.
Like the most intense exploration ever.
This mission, this trip may take 2 years.
Yep.
Who do I want on my team?
Yep. Okay, cool. In that case then, I'm going to leap on to, last but not least, Ben. Why were you recruited? Where were you recruited? Who were you recruited?
Well, who I was recruited was as Zoya Novitskaya.
Mm-hmm.
I am a female tiefling, originally from St. Petersburg. I was recruited from a hospital in Prague where my family have fallen ill from some sort of illness which they're not sure how to treat, and I desperately, desperately need more money to pay for their treatment. So the reason that I was hired is I'm a researcher specialising in Central Asian archaeology and land. So I spent a lot of time in where Mongolia would be. Does Mongolia exist?
Mongolia exists, but it's
much bigger than Russia.
It's changed shape. Let's leave it at that.
From that area, basically the Central Asian mass,
sure,
or Central mass of Asia, I guess. Yeah, that area of the world, basically.
Mm-hmm. We're all a little bit disappointed Ben isn't playing Chelvar.
And what class are you playing?
I am playing a barbarian who has taken the path of the wild.
That's the one.
A barbarian who's known as an archaeologist and a researcher. I love it.
Path of the wild soul. Yeah, you know, don't have to be dumb shouting
he
things.
Is complex. He contains multitudes. She is complex. She contains multitudes. Excellent. In that case, then, I can go into a little bit about what your mission is.
Cool.
So, Phoebe managed to... sort of gather you all together, and you all will obviously have known each other, having met when you were with Phoebe, so obviously Zoya is going to have already met both of you. And it was revealed that the person that Phoebe was acting on behalf of was her father, Mr. Fogg. Now, Mr. Fogg is
First name, Alex? Mr. Fogg?
I think it's Phineas, I believe.
Okay.
Yes, that's
so. We're doing fictional characters now, as well as just historical ones. All right, fair enough.
I think I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's real, right?
In the hearts of sci-fi nerds.
So, Mr. Fogg is well known to Zoya in the research community and so on as a kook. Mr. Fogg is utterly, utterly convinced that the Northern Wastes aren't. The Northern Wastes. Yes, there's wild magic that occasionally sweeps through and makes strange things happen. Yes, there's enormous monsters. Yes, most of the people who go in there die viscerally and quickly to all of the lands that are there. But he is utterly convinced that if you can just get far enough north, there's definitely a massive civilization there waiting to be discovered. I need to be absolutely clear with you all. No one else believes this. He is alone in this. He has been speaking to anyone that he could buy a wild tale from, and it is clear that his daughter Phoebe is entertaining him. Aww. And is humouring him in a way to make sure that it doesn't necessarily do any harm to anyone, apart from
sending three people to
yourselves.
Die.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's good.
As the years have gone on, Fogg has become more convinced, not less, that this secret civilization is out there.
Well, of course.
He's not sure what it's called. He'd like it to be named in his honour if it's discovered, regardless of whether there's people there or not, because that's how Fogg rolls.
Fogg off.
Fogopolis. We'll work out the details.
More like Fogophilus, mate.
So, you have all been hired and you have all been paid handsomely. 50% up front and 50% on completion of finding this city that definitely exists. definitely exists. So your initial setup money was already a fortune, to be clear. And as it stands, you have been tasked with heading effectively as far north as you can get, because he's convinced that just north is the direction. Just keep going north and you'll get there. And his daughter Phoebe is actually a comparatively decent seer, scryer. So she's going to be checking in with you once a week, find out where you are, have a bit of a look at where you are as a bit of proof to check that you haven't just run off with the money. And in order to give it a veneer of respectability, you'll all be expected to be doing some cartography along the way, taking note of any interesting peoples, animals, that kind of thing, because there's actually very little research once you get past about Irkutsk. So, in order to get there, you manage to hitch a ride via airship to Irkutsk, which is as north as you can really get. There wasn't really so much as a landing area as a field with some boxes. You were all taken there by someone, I believe, who's named Earhart. And yeah, this is an independent enterprise. This is not meritocratically funded. Funnily enough, the meritocrats really couldn't get behind funding for a hunt for a fictional city. They just, they just didn't feel like it was a good use of funds.
It's not very sporting.
Exactly, yeah. But thankfully, Fogg, as I said, quite wealthy and more than able to equip you all and send you on your way. So you were all dropped off in Irkutsk and began your journey north, on foot, with no supply trains. Obviously, you have supplies for a while, but eventually you'd have been living off the land, etc.
That's fine.
6 months have passed with you heading north. You are all well familiar with one another. You all have your routines. You know what you're good at. You know what you're bad at. You are not strangers to one another. And honestly, I'm going to lay it out. It's been fine. There have been the occasional hazards. Oh, massive bear. Oh, you know, a landslide or whatever. All the kind of things that, frankly, you all expected and were prepared for. You haven't run into any people. There was maybe one day you ran into someone returning from, say, the northeast, like a trapper or something similar. That's been it. That's been your entire encounter. You've been seeing no signs of people. In terms of landscape, it's mostly forested, occasional, it is tundra-esque, but it's forested, and then you'll maybe head out from a bit of forestry into a bit of grassland for a while. Quite rocky, even in the grassland, and then heading back into forestry and so on. It's quite beautiful.
Are there like natural waterways around?
Yes, plenty.
Like, that's going to be
there are. I mean, don't get me wrong. You occasionally like will have a couple of days stretch between them, but you haven't really run into supply issues. There's been plenty of animals and so on. However, you have noticed that the animals are slightly smaller, but again, all of you are familiar with this terrain, and you know it's because anything bigger than a certain size tends to get eaten quite quickly by something even bigger. And so, yeah.
So prey animals are small and predator animals are big?
No. So what it is that there are... Think of it as a sliding scale.
Okay.
In terms of upper scale for size, you all know that megafauna are kicking around. In fact, you all know that gigafauna are kicking around. They're just rare. They do a lot of roaming. One huge creature will cover, you know, thousands of miles of territory sometimes just to sustain itself.
Okay.
So in terms of, you're not seeing large herds of things.
Okay.
Anything that's large that attracts attention tends to get eaten.
Okay. So a gigafauna is a five-storey skyscraper, like that thing in The Mist?
Here's the thing. For all of you, I'll let you all decide who has seen the biggest between you.
Me.
I don't want to see the biggest.
Rob,
I think we should roll for it.
I agree.
Because we all could have, although technically I've spent most time in Russia. So
all three of you, roll your d20. The number that you roll is how big it was.
17.
Yes!
Woo!
Both Helen and I rolled twos.
Okay, cool.
Suck it, friends.
So, both Kwame and Piotr, you've both seen an animal at least two stories tall. At least two stories tall.
Holy Christ!
Zoya, you are convinced that you have seen something beyond the scale of which anyone has really believed is possible.
So yeah. Once very far
certainly
off, I saw a mountain walk.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You literally
Wait,
saw
what?
You saw something. You saw like a very large mountain moving across the landscape. It was misty and so on, and you have not been fool enough to loudly declare this to the world because you would be a laughing stock.
It's something I know in my heart.
In your heart,
I saw that.
You saw that.
No, I saw.
You don't know what it is, but you might find out. But you definitely, on your furthest expeditions, have seen mountains move.
God, I love RNG. This is a whole new subplot for my character through just randomly rolling a 17. Love it.
So, as it stands, like I said, you have been travelling north for now 6 months on foot. And you are well into the depths of what we would call Russia, you know, the northern wastes now. You have seen some strange things. Occasionally, animals will have strange, maybe deformations or things like that. But again, all of you are well familiar. There's quite a lot of wild magic kicking around in the northern wastes, and it can have that effect. It's not been known to literally, like, make people explode or anything like that. You know, though, that, like, children born here might end up, say, I mean, Zoya is aware of this, but like children born here might be visually distinctive compared to like elsewhere and things like that. So
That's one thing I have remembered, that I didn't give a physical description of myself.
Ah, you should.
Which is quite important.
Oh, did any of us?
I did.
Yeah, Bryn did. I don't know if you did.
I don't remember anything that I said.
Should we give ourselves some physical descriptions?
Okay.
Let's do it again, and then if we've already said it once, we can just cut to this bit. It's fine. We won't even repeat ourselves.
Oh.
Right, so I am a reasonably tall and very stocky woman who is who looks incredibly strong. Basically, I look like a bodybuilder. I have a bodybuilder's build, but like a practical bodybuilder, not a show bodybuilder.
I know what you mean.
Like,
not an oily bodybuilder.
Yeah.
You can touch your own back.
Basically, I've got 14 strength and 16 con, so I'm, you know, pretty hefty as a person. I also have deep, deep, deep red skin and golden hair and golden eyes.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I am a tiefling. Although, yeah, as we said,
within this story world, tieflings is what happens if you're going to start having kids in the northern wastes.
Oh.
So classically, tieflings are like, oh, there's infernal blood in your ancestry, but
we're not doing that. That's not a thing we're doing.
Yeah.
This tiefling is one of the things that can happen if you are raising a kid in the northern wastes. It has strange effects on people.
But also, I'm wearing just travelling leathers, very, very practical. I've got a bag with books and bottles and sort of research stuff, as well as a large reinforced leather shield and a warhammer strapped to my back.
Because this is a northern wastes.
Yes.
Travelling safe is more important.
Yes.
Yes.
And so Kwame, physical description.
Oh, that's Kwame with an I.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's
Kwame.
Okay. Yeah. Kwame is a tall and wiry black dude with dreadlocks and wears mostly leathers. Carries what he needs.
See, when you say wears mostly leathers, it feels filthy. I know it's not, but it does feel filthy.
Wears leathers like a hunter, not like
anything else?
Other people.
Good to know. Good to know. Not where
doesn't
I was
wear
going
other
with
people.
It.
No.
Doesn't wear humanoid skin.
No human skin. Just normal animal skin.
So, in terms of
over their elf skin.
Good to know.
Which they've flayed from themselves,
no!
cured, and have put back on.
Thank you for making what I just threw you off with a little bit into just a whole thing. So, another thing to be aware of is none of the party are carrying around much in the way of magical equipment. You are all level 6. You should have some. However, the Northern Wastes, it doesn't go wrong. It still works. However, people, there's a kind of rumour that magical items might attract the bigger things. Ooh. So people tend to travel magic light.
So we've left all our stuff at home.
So you have your big shiny stuff, but you don't take it this far north because it's asking for trouble. Sure. It's like, you know, going around with a big light. You're broadcasting where you are a little bit. You do have all been provided by Fogg one item, which is an experimental item, which has been Fogg has been funding because he has a great belief that it could work, which is developed by a gentleman scholar called Erwin Schrödinger. And he has developed an adventuring pack, which should provide you with any mundane adventuring gear that you require. However, he has warned you that it could be temperamental. So take that as you will, but you should nominally have
I'm
all
rolling
the
my eyes
gear you need.
So hard.
So
right
fundamentally,
now.
It's like a pre-filled bag of holding.
Yeah.
Where we stick our hands in, grab something, and it might be what we need.
Yeah.
No. It should be what you need.
It might be one year.
Exactly. Schrodinger's pack. Schrodinger's utterly convinced, by the way, that this is going to take the world by storm. So he just needed to test the prototypes.
So this is a mixture of Mary Poppins' bag and a clown car.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I like it.
Okay. So you were making camp. You were set up for the night. You'd all settled in. You'd eaten. In terms of seasons, by the way, it's quite cold. You are not in like the depths of winter, but you have been travelling for 6 months, and winter's on the horizon. You're in an autumn where it's going to get cold, and you all know that you are going to be spending winter still out here.
Yep.
Even if you were immediately to turn around and double back, you're still going to have been here a full year.
Yep. Yeah.
So you aren't going to be caught surprised. It's not like, oh no, you're okay with it. As you are setting up camp, though. In the evening, as you've all settled in, there is a huge and enormous, like, sound of an explosion. That's the best description I can give. Much further north. Okay? As it's the middle of the night, you have little way of discerning how far the distance is or so on. There is no large flash of light. It is just a huge, like, explosion. You can see what you think is obscuring the stars at night, what appears to be a large dust cloud of some kind. But until the next morning, you don't really have a sense of the scale. I would like to pick up here, where this has happened, and you are in a discussion about how you should handle this situation. Nothing like this has come up before. Is this a thing that you should investigate? That kind of thing.
Is it broadly on course for where we're going, or would this be a diversion to our chosen destination?
It'd be slightly more northwesterly than you have been travelling, but your entire directions for where to go are, if you keep going north, it'll be obvious.
I think we should investigate it.
No.
I mean, not until the morning, obviously.
Good.
So, there is no knowledge geography. If I wanted to know whether or not there was a settlement up there...
Knowledge history.
Ooh,
there's no settlements in this
area.
I
wouldn't give you advantage on this for a couple of reasons, so yeah.
Fine. Eight.
Eight. Not only are there, do you believe there's no settlements, you've not even heard rumours.
Okay.
Really? Again, there's a reason that no one would have taken this mission without an enormous fortune. There's nothing here.
Sure, but this isn't on any, like, migratory pass for any of the people who live up here at all.
You're at this 6 month mark, you are starting to reach the point where probably no one's been.
Okay, so we're going beyond the furthest reaches of any.
Yeah. Think, I mean, I don't want to take you too far off piece, but it's like, you know, like the like Arctic expeditions where you went beyond where even like native peoples were going, and you're just heading into, you can't survive there more than a certain length of time. You're going off the edge of the map here.
Yeah.
So in terms of our people here, no.
There be monsters.
Literally. No one's been drawing dragons, because that'd be quite the faux pas.
It'd be meritocrats. That's fine.
Yeah, they've just left it blank.
Okay.
We'll wait till morning.
I've never heard of anything like this before.
No, if we're looking for any sort of lost city, though, it may be some sort of effect. Or if not, it might be something to report back to Fog and...
I mean, most similar seem to be volcanic explosion, if there's a dust cloud in the sky.
Maybe.
It will still be there in the morning.
Absolutely. We should always travel with
I'm going
light.
To bed.
I will take first watch as normal.
Okay.
Very well.
Kwame curls up like a little puppy.
So... morning rolls by. I'm just going to skip to you all took your watches properly, but you've been doing this for 6 months. You're fine. The things that become apparent in the morning. One, the scale of the dust cloud is huge. Enormous. A lot of it has probably sort of dissipated a little bit. It doesn't look like it's still pluming upwards like a volcano would, for instance. But the scale of it is vast. It is volcanic in scale, certainly, but it doesn't appear to be continually
spewing. Is it affecting the light? Is it a lot darker than we would expect?
Yes. It seems to have thrown up an enormous amount of dirt or something, because it is dimmer than you would expect. It's a bit colder. Honestly, it's been comparatively clear recently, the weather. It's actually cloudier today, and you're all fairly good at predicting what the weather's going to do within a certain range, and this wasn't meant to be the weather, so it's probably affecting the weather a little bit as well. A second thing to be aware of is that you know that at some point today you will be contacted by Phoebe, because you are due your weekly check-in. to see that everyone's alive. Where are you? Have you got anything to report back to my dad?
So how far to the north? Like, in, obviously we can't tell exactly, but hundreds of miles, tens of miles, a mile?
So that would be a a survival check for this one. Because perception, you can see it, but its survival is to gauge how far it is, whether that's a day's journey, what the terrain's like between there and there. So,
Okay, I
presume we're still in my favoured terrain.
Yeah. For the future of this, unless you end up deep underground, maybe in the sky, you're in your favoured terrain.
I'm going to roll even though it's bad.
Now, I will give... I haven't seen these rolls. I don't want to hear them. Don't tell me what they are. Okay. Because it's fifth ed, I'd like to remind you that you can aid one another, so one person can take the lead, and if someone else is aiding, it grants advantage. It is fifth ed, not Pathfinder.
Yeah,
so it might... I haven't seen the scores. I don't want to know what they are. If you want to, I'll let you make this call. I don't mind.
Very good. I mean, I'm not very good at this.
I have a plus nine.
You have a plus nine in survival.
That's absurd.
He's a ranger in his favourite terrain.
I've got plus three
every
from
bonus
wisdom,
it's possible
plus
to get,
three proficiency twice.
I have a plus three in survival, so maybe I should help you.
No, I should help Bryn, and you should roll independently, because I'm going to do rubish, so I might as well give somebody
Ben, Ben is correct. You are a more useful backup than help.
Yeah, so I'm going to help. Backup. I'm going to have a brief chat.
Okay, no, let me put it another way. What you are is a valid second opinion, and that is not something that Ben's character is able to provide.
So I'm gonna have a chat with Piotr and just talk it through.
Yeah, and I'll just go and look into the horizon by myself.
So,
okay, 16.
24.
Again, rangers being rangers, this makes sense.
You think
it is realistically... maybe it's 6 days. As the crow flies, it's probably closer to two, but you're going to cross some rough terrain. It looks like there's a couple of ravines. It gets a bit mountainous between here and there.
Yep.
Nothing huge, nothing that you can't handle, but you've also learnt, tell someone 6 days, and if you get there in four, they're happy.
So what do you think?
It's several days travel away. Could, if we're very lucky, could take four, but more likely six or seven.
Well, it's not like we have a massive time limit, so we should have a look.
I think it is interesting enough to divert course slightly, and not even very far out of our way.
Yeah,
it's a couple of days in a journey of months. Like,
okay.
Still, never seen anything like this. I hear, as I said, volcanic eruption can do a similar effect, but
that's something magical. Maybe some sort of behemoth activity.
Mm-hmm.
Not one I've ever heard of or encountered, but more things in the wastes than I ever seen.
I hear they can get bigger than what many people have seen. So, anyway, let's look and
let's
see for ourselves.
Kwame begins to walk off while you two are still talking.
Yes, my kind of character!
Okay.
I strike camp.
Yes. Kwame, do you want to take down your tent?
I don't have a tent.
You're a druid.
Yep.
Right, we'll scratch that interaction because it's kind of obvious we've been travelling for 6 months.
Every so often, like sometimes I just make camp in a tree and not either of you see me for the whole night.
Fair enough.
That's not true. Occasionally you look down and go,
oh, yeah, I guess in which case, Kwame, wait for us. Some of us have to pack up camp.
Says Kwame.
Right, I'm going to use this nice little gentle in as a break and then we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Aw.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome back. So, I am going to skip the interaction with Phoebe on that day.
Sure.
Suffice it to summarise it. Yeah, Phoebe's like, yeah, you should probably investigate that, at which point she has to then pass on Fogg's message, which is, oh my god, that's definitely it. He has said this multiple times before.
Everything is definitely
you saw an unusually large tree. This is definitely a sign. There was that time when you saw three bears in one day. Definitely a sign of the city. His enthusiasm is,
I mean, if this is the city we're
unending.
Supposed to find, then something very wrong happened there.
Yes.
But what I am going to do is I'm going to accelerate time, if everyone's okay with that, by more than a day.
Absolutely not.
So
I step forward again.
I breathe in. I breathe out.
The ranger's Piotr, his estimation is very accurate in terms of how long it was going to take, and it becomes easily apparent to all of you that, yeah, that was the case. Also, the cloud continues to dissipate till eventually its sand strains, its effects are only present in the weather. The weather continues to be overcast and continues to give flurries of light snow, but in this area you wouldn't expect that. Normally it kind of goes clear, 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 boomf,
and
heavy
it's
snow.
Early for snow.
It's early in the season. It shouldn't be like that.
I'm going to taste the snow coming out of the sky, and is it magical? In fact, I will detect magic.
Now,
by licking.
As a barbarian, yes. Would you care to explain to listeners how you're able to detect magic?
Yes, because I'm following the path of the... Wait, I'm just going to remind myself what it's called. Path of the World Soul.
There you go.
Yeah, which is an Unearthed Arcana one. Basically, I have lingering magic, so I can... my body reacts to the presence of magic, so I can cast Detect Magic.
And what's the stat that you're...
On Constitution.
It just feels wrong.
Yep, and the way that I detect magic is my body glows the colour, a colour according to the school which is present.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's quite fun. I like
it.
Yeah. So, I do that, I think. I just do it, right? You don't have to roll?
There can be DCs involved.
Yes, I roll off Constitution if I need a spellcasting ability.
But I don't need that roll. I can tell you there is nothing beyond normal background magic, which is quite high for the region. But it's not like dangerous.
Cool. And having tasted the snow, I'd like to make an Arcana check to see if I can recognise anything magical, like if whether this is the result of a magical effect, whether or not magic is present.
Give me knowledge Arcana, and I'm kind of extracting it beyond the taste to like the effect itself and so on.
12.
Let's put it this way: if someone has made this happen, you're all in a heap of trouble.
Yeah,
that's a big effect. That's summon volcano. You know, whatever.
While we are travelling. I would like to observe the movement patterns of the local fauna. Because if they're all fleeing, then that tells us something. But since it looks to be a one-off, not ongoing effect, probably they won't have changed much.
Okay, in which case I would require a survival for that one as well,
so we're
please.
Like, ugh, weird.
I'd also allow knowledge nature if someone wants to use that.
My survival is better. But I both of them, I get quite a good bonus because of my ranger-ness. 21.
21 on a... Which one? Because I'll flavour it based on
a survival.
21 on survival. There is more game than you would be expecting in this area, which would indicate that they have been fleeing. However, there isn't the ongoing movement.
Yeah, so a couple of days of unusual...
You know,
and then sort of
to expect increased predator activity as a result of territories being interfered with, you know, mass movement of game, that kind of
dear.
Thing. So you know that you're going to need your wits about you because something big like this tends to attract something big. Large amounts of animals moving tends to encourage, you know, feeding frenzies and things like that. So you may want to...
I'll share that.
Be a bit
that.
More careful.
Let everyone know.
Okay.
Just to be a bit more aware than we might normally be, because things will have been disturbed.
I am always aware.
So 4 days into the journey, you have made it to the highest point, which is, you know, I said there was a little bit of mountains between you and what this thing is. Can everyone please give me a perception check?
Mm-hmm. 19.
19?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to apply my favourite terrain bonus as well.
Makes sense.
23.
Rangers, excellent if they don't have to leave their favourite terrain. Yes. So all of you are seeing quite well. What you are seeing is something transformative has happened to the landscape. It's not perfectly flat, so you're not looking out over a vista. The landscape is far too rugged for that.
Okay, so we've kind of got to the area of effect.
No. So you have gotten to the highest point.
A ridge overlooking.
You have gotten to
so
a ridge overlooking.
So we can see the area of effect.
You can see some of the area of effect, but the land's far too rugged for you to just go, okay, cool, it's this wide, I can
so
see this, this,
this.
So it's
not a flat, blasted plain.
Plus, you are noticing that visibility is terrible.
That'll be all the dust, right?
Presumably. Okay. That's certainly what you would think.
Sure.
Additionally, the weather has continued to be worse than it should do in a way that... Anyone got knowledge history?
Yes.
And you might be able to hit the DCs for it. Go for it.
Not with a roll of an 8. 12.
12. Things can interfere with visibility and interfere with weather. How long it's going to take. But it's not unexpected, but the visibility is quite poor, so the combination of the two means it's quite obscured. It looks like something transformative has happened to the landscape, though. Certainly there's an indication of like mass deforestation beyond a few of the ridges and ruggedness and so on. And
like missing trees?
Flattened trees. And the best comparison I can give you is, you ever seen the aftermath of a landslide?
Yeah.
So it looks like the aftermath of a landslide. The only problem is, the landslide can't have come from anywhere. Mm. It's like everywhere slowed at the same time.
If we can see quite a range, is the effect centred anywhere?
You believe, and just from perception, all of you can tell, yes. It seems to peter out, although the way these things tend to work is it does tend to sort of go trees, no trees, because a tree is either there or it's not.
So, for the sake of clarity, it would be logical to assume this is some sort of explosion from a fixed point.
Certainly that seems to scan. It's too obscured and the visibility is too poor, though, for this.
I never heard of volcanic explosion doing this.
Well, I can't see a volcano, so...
No, not the centre is the same as the rest of the terrain, but clearly something in the middle has caused this outspread of...
Maybe some sort of magical
devastation
thing which was disturbed?
Best way to find out is to look.
Yes.
Very, yes.
You believe that it will take an extra day. You don't have to do this walk. 6 days, you were accurate, will get you to the edge of the effect. The effect is significantly larger than you could realistically have expected. Even with the terrain being flattened in that way, and you're all quite good at getting through difficult terrain, it's still looking like, if you wanted to go to the very centre, you're looking at another day's travel on top, and visibility seems to be worse at the...
Are we having any trouble breathing?
Not yet.
Okay.
Well, oh, no, not yet.
I'm glad you picked up on that.
Well, it's the most interesting thing which we've seen in 6 months, so it would be foolish to not have a look.
I agree. We should proceed.
Okay. In that case, then, unless anyone disagrees, you set off down the mountain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So, I say mountain. It's just enough to count, but...
The big hill.
I'm going to stock up slightly more on fresh water... Then I just carry a little more fresh water than I normally do before we enter this area.
What I would like to do, actually, is if you want to take some time to stock up, that's fine. Time isn't a pressure here. The way that you would normally do this is everyone give a survival check, or you can aid to see how much you stock up on provisions, either foraging or hunting and things like that.
Yeah.
Might be a good idea. I'm not going to force it. You have enough supplies perpetually. You've normally made sure you have 3 days of supplies ahead of you.
Yeah.
So that, you know... If some game turns up, you can stock up again.
I would like to have slightly more than normal heading into this weird area.
I mean, just so you know, I have create water.
Oh, then.
So you have 10 gallons available.
And I will make it clear again, in the Northern Wastes, magic doesn't misbehave. That's not a thing.
It's not rare.
There are extra effects that kick around, not as a result of you casting magic, but magic just works. It just does.
Okay.
So I might have water, cool. And then suddenly there's like... a fish.
it's more that like you might attract animals, okay. Or there might be, say, like an aurora effect, things like that. Mm-hmm. But nothing that's going to be mechanically problematic. You know this. I mean, you're heading beyond the range. It could start, but you haven't even heard stories of this kind of thing happening.
Okay, that's probably come up before, so I probably don't need to.
No.
But I might still just say, give me an extra hour to hunt, and so I can sort away some extra food.
We're not under any time limit. Yes, absolutely. I'll help, and I give.
In which case, you can aid with the survival check.
I'm going to go hunt alone.
I was going to say, I assume as a druid, you have pretty decent.
Give me a survival check then.
Yeah. Not rolling. Well, I'm rolling.
Why are you rolling?
Force of habit. Oh.
That's a 17 for me.
17 for you.
18 for me.
18. Okay.
And part of the favoured terrain bonus is I find twice as much food while foraging. As a flat bonus.
It's all right. Just remember, he can't turn into a bear.
It's true.
I want to turn into a wolf anyway.
He can't turn into a wolf either. So.
Technically, if you'd have seen a dinosaur, you could turn into one, but you haven't. So I'm real sorry.
If I saw a megafauna, could I turn into it?
There are size limits, I'm afraid.
But could he turn into a smaller version of that thing?
It'd be a tiny brontosaurus.
No,
not really. That's like saying I turned
into... Dude, sucks. I hate this game.
Technically, there's not size limits. There's challenge rating limits. So you could probably turn into a sunfish.
Oh, you could be like a really rubbish big...
Yeah.
You know what? At higher levels, you would be able to turn into a giant squid.
I can turn into, I could turn into a crocodile.
And at higher levels, you also get more exotic stuff. So you could turn into things that, fly. or a great white shark and things that have extra stuff. Anyway,
crocodile. Just in the Russian just in tundra.
I'm cold and suddenly I want to sleep.
They're quick in a straight line. So,
bye. So. In terms of stocking up on provisions, you managed to find. I'm going to give you normal provisions, but some extra interesting lore. So you managed to find yourself a large selection of berries and things to stock up on. It isn't necessarily going to carry a meal on its own, but certainly it will bulk out your supplies by quite a lot. But also you do notice that there are tells of unusually high background magic around here. So you have learned to recognise, don't eat that bush, it's weird because of magic. Don't eat that one, it's weird because of magic. Not trying to get you, but like... think mutations, basically, things like that. So yeah, you manage to stock up and avoid anything huge, but you know that there's more background magic here, but similarly, it's not like transcendently different. It's just, you know, these things happen. In terms of Kwame, you manage to find yourself a well-aged doe. So you manage to stock up on some meats and so on, and if you want
them. Jerky.
Can you also give me a perception check, please?
Yeah. Oh. 8.
Okay. Glad we had this talk.
This dough is completely normal.
You managed to stock up. If you want to like fully stock up with the dough and so on, it is going to cost you a few hours. But again, time.
Yeah, we'll be. Yeah.
As long as you're back in time for the decade, I think you're going to be okay as far as
Yeah, in the grand scheme of a year.
All Fog wants, really, you've learned, is really over sensationalized accounts of what's happening.
He wants a good story.
He wants a really good story that you have, over the months, started to suspect he might insert himself into and claim that he was there for.
Does he want to go and talk about it at the club? Yeah.
Absolutely! So,
finally, they'll respect
him. Look, this is a drawing of a thing that they claim to have seen. Proof! So.
That's literally how the chupacabra happened.
Absolutely! Absolutely! I'm glad you're picking up on this. This is exactly where we're going.
The chupacabra!
Okay, so you all start heading down the oversized hill, undersized mountain. Can everyone now give me another perception check, please?
I'm actually rolling vaguely averagely. 15.
15?
18.
18.
27.
27.
Goodness me. All right, Sasha!
As you are setting up camp, your suspicions are confirmed that something has been tracking you. You've had your suspicions over the day. However, you didn't feel it necessary to raise it to your party. It was distant. It didn't seem to be actively hunting you as such, but you got the odd hint here and there, and as you were setting up camp, your suspicions were confirmed that you saw definite movement a decent distance away, much higher up, and that something has been tracking you. It might not even be a meat eater. It's far too far away for you to know, but it has tracked you for multiple hours, which is a bad sign, but not, like, conclusive.
I'll share this information and say, I do not think we should sleep yet. We should act as if we are sleeping, but not actually sleep.
Do you want me to scout?
If it has been tracking us for this long, it will be well aware of our normal movements. If we do anything too out of the ordinary, that will tip it off that we know it is here. This is why I think we should pretend to sleep.
Okay, we'll act as bait.
All right.
Okay, cool. In which case, then, what is your watch order?
Traditionally, I've been taking the first watch.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take the second one when the moon is high.
The moon is high.
Woo!
But unfortunately obscured by the poor visibility.
Oh, I'm sad about that.
Okay, so, first watch, please give me a perception check. It is night, so unless you have dark vision, disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
Or you might have a ranger feature that negates that, but I don't believe
no,
so.
No, I believe I still get disadvantage in the dark. 22.
Okay.
Rolled a 15 and a 13, so screw you, disadvantage.
Towards the end of your watch, you see that whatever it was that was tracking you, it stopped when you set up camp, waited a while, and then started approaching more cautiously. It is still a significant distance away. Like, at its current pace, it's probably going to turn up end of watch 2 and start of watch 3.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do the normal switching watch procedure. I'll probably... Actually, when I'm starting my watch and I realise it's not about to come to us immediately, I'll probably say you should sleep as normal to
if,
you guys.
If all of you choose not to sleep, You will not get the long rest, so you will get a level of fatigue in this system. Level of fatigue has a few minor effects, but there are multiple levels of fatigue you can get, and one long rest will reset you by one level of fatigue.
I will take advantage of this.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. I'll sleep when I can, because sleep is important for a wolf.
Yes,
a young, growing wolf.
Yeah, yeah. So the not sleeping immediately thing was just to try and see if it would take the bait of us
that's fine.
Being I'm asleep. Yeah, but yeah, once that's not happened, I'll be like, yeah, go ahead and sleep. And I'll share this, and I'm gonna doze more than sleep myself if I can, just kind of basically intentionally make myself uncomfortable so that I don't fall asleep very deeply.
Mechanically, what I'm going to lay this out as is that normally
I will very probably end up with a level of fatigue.
I'm actually going to say I'm okay with it, because the way I can justify it mechanically is normally when you are sleeping, it is expected that your equipment isn't immediately to hand. You know, your shield isn't on your arm, your sword is not ready to go. You have gone to sleep with your stuff ready to go.
Yes.
So you are
More dressed than I normally would.
Yeah, exactly.
Be
you
like
are
that.
Fully dressed and good to go. Yeah. So you aren't going to be caught as unawares. That's the way I can rule that mechanically. Second watch. Can I get a perception check, please?
That's mine, yeah.
It's unfortunate because I have dark vision.
I have dark vision too.
Yes. Druid's rock.
You don't get disadvantage.
Oh, no.
Just roll badly.
I just rolled badly. That's only a 12.
So, at some point, you've both been struggling to pick up on what the ranger was picking up on, just because it's quite far away.
Mm.
And eventually, you lose sight of even where you think it was. Just for the simple reason that it's far away, it's dark, visibility is poor.
Mm.
So you definitely get a glimpse of movement that was closer than it used to be, and then it has just gone from your vision. But also, you know, it's rugged terrain. It could just literally be behind a rock and stuff.
Okay.
But
at the end of my watch, I pass that on to Zoya.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be ready.
Can you give me a perception check, please?
13. Yes, 13.
13. Okay. At least an hour passes in your watch with no sign of anything. There are not, like, it's not suspiciously quiet, to be clear, or anything like that. It is normal. And then you definitely get the sound of something larger moving appreciably close to the camp, something that might actually be a threat to the group rather than something that's, you know, a 10-minute walk away kind of dealie.
Okay.
You have no line of sight to it. The land is too rugged. You just have the sound that there is something larger moving quite nearby. Could be a deer, could be whatever this is.
Oh, okay, so I'm not sure.
You are not sure.
I am going to try and sneak up to it to try and confirm or not confirm. I'm not going to go outside the bounds of the camp. I guess my sneak is more sort of moving in such a way where I'm just like patrolling the camp, not going to see.
I get you. Can you give me just a generic stealth check, please?
12.
Okay. 12. You start your patrol, but your patrol that is far more watchful than people might expect, and a little bit wider than you'd normally do, that kind of thing, a bit more careful. As you are doing so, you catch a glimpse of some kind of movement behind a large outcrop. Okay? You see a large, clawed, furred hand, but it's behaving very strangely. Can you give me a knowledge nature?
18.
It might be a... it's something... Oh, I get to use the word. It looks like it might be something ursine.
Okay.
So bear-like, you know, big bear claws,
But you said hand rather than paw.
Here's the thing.
Ursine, not...
It's slightly...
Is it the Yeti?
It's slightly misshapen... El Chupacabra! It's slightly misshapen for what you might expect.
Literally the other side of the world.
That's the one thing you never expect!
Did you know they thought they saw Bigfoot in Wales?
What do you mean,
Come on.
And in Lincolnshire, because of famous mountains of Lincolnshire.
I told you my conspiracy theory, right?
Oh, God.
Okay,
what?
Bigfoot exists, but it's smarter than everyone thought, and it is Brian Blessed.
So it shaved itself.
It shaved itself and has now been claiming to hunt the Yeti to steer people away from the truth, which is Brian Blessed is the Yeti. Anyway.
Cunning.
It is not behaving appropriate for the kind of animal that it looks to be.
Is it?
Minor mutations and this kind of thing are not unheard of because of the... If you know it's higher than background magic normally, then slight misshaping isn't necessarily an indicator of a big, huge, scary monster.
Cool. Right. I have lower than average wisdom. At the side, I'm going to then look at it and go, if you want to talk, come and talk.
The sort of clawed hand pulls away, and then you hear the sound of something large moving away.
Hmm. I'll go back and keep watch again.
Okay. The rest of... No, actually, give me another perception check.
Nine.
The rest of your watch passes uneventfully.
Okay. In the morning, like, so I saw it approaching.
Could you tell what it was?
No. So it looked like something similar, but not like a bear. The digits on its hands were too well developed. It looked like it might have had opposable thumbs. So, I asked it if it wanted to
talk. Half human, half bear.
Possibly in this part of the world, but I asked it if it wanted to talk, and it left. It didn't run, it didn't come at me, so I don't know. I don't know what this thing wants.
Possibly not hostile, but...
Possibly. So I think in the future, maybe if we could make contact, as much as the old man's theories seem stupid, this could be a lead.
It doesn't want to talk, though.
No, I mean, but it wants to follow us. Not if it's been that. Tracking us, then it's
we
kind of on it, right?
We could lose it if we chose to.
Would it be a problem if it didn't? We didn't lose it? If it doesn't seem to be aggressive, unless it's trying to lay some sort of trap. But if we're watchful for it and we know, then even if it does lay a trap, we could use that. If it lays a trap, it's showing intelligence. If it's showing intelligence, it could have built a civilization. If it's built a civilization, then that's the city we're looking for.
A bear city.
It's an opportunity. We are in an uncharted part of the world. Anything could be up here. Anything
there
at all.
There may be sentient races that have never been contacted by the rest of us.
Exactly.
I mean,
beasts the size of mountains. Explosions that have no... We're in Zoya, strange lands.
Zoya is first of species I have met.
It's not a species.
Do I think you're human? Because your character class, your character race is tiefling, right?
Yes, but in here it's like mutated humans.
Oh, okay, then so I probably wouldn't have said it that way. Exactly that way.
If you did, it's a kind of aggression.
I mean, I would take that back.
It could have been a complete faux pas. That's fine. Because I don't think tieflings are.
You've
common.
Had 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'd have had the conversation. We'd have all the awkward conversations
fine,
in the first
fine,
month.
There's a reason that it's been 6 months. All awkward conversations dealt with.
That's fine.
Okay. So.
So we continue as normal, then?
I think so.
Suits me.
I want to see what's in this explosion.
Mm-hmm.
So agreed.
So, as you are approaching, the visibility grows really poor, and the weather turns on you. Not snow this time. It's quite torrential rain. Again, it's unseasonable, but not unheard of. All of you can get this for free. It's probably been triggered by this, but it isn't a magical effect. Again, I'm giving you that for free. It's autumn. It's getting towards the end of the season. Heavy rains are a thing. Okay, cool. You know to watch out for flash floods, but again, there's enough higher ground because it's rugged that you don't really have reason for concern. However, as you do sort of take your break through the half day, just before you start breaking through towards the edge of whatever this effect is, you do get your message from Phoebe checking in. In terms of how this manifests, by the way, it is the best description I can give you is it's a voice on the wind. You don't see a person. And it's only ever Phoebe. Phoebe repeats what Fogg has said, but you have never had any communications with anyone else.
We can't like hear him in the background. Isn't
it's not a mobile stone. That kind of technology is surely no one has that kind of ability.
I know.
So yeah, Phoebe finally drops a line. She has a tendency to be a bit curt, so it's something more along the lines of, "Can I have reports, please?"
Bear man.
Details. There's a bear man. Is it more bear or is it more man? Or is it both bear and man?
Not contact. Not yet established. Attempting to do so, but also proceeding with investigation of site of explosion.
It's following us.
There's a slight delay. Your priority remains the event. If you get the chance to make contact with the bear man.
Not sure that exactly what it is yet.
We'll keep an eye out.
Excellent. There's another delay. You've also learned... Maybe not. She doesn't hang up, as it were. Yeah. Things tend to hold on. You hear...
Any signs of an undiscovered civilization?
Not yet, but this could be a lead, so hang tight.
There's another pause. And then, yeah, she's probably gone.
Okay.
I'm happy to have you make camp again, if that's okay, and then... Tomorrow you will be, first thing in the morning, you will be at the edge of things.
Okay. Yeah.
Same watch order?
Yeah.
Can I get perception checks from people?
We'll probably make camp slightly earlier because if it's been wet all day, we'll need to create an actual cover to stay dry and also have a fire to dry out anything that will have got wet. So,
tell you what, can I get a survival check from one of you for setting up camp just because of the conditions?
Mm. Not me, because I don't do camp.
27.
It is a comfortable camp. Job done. Rangers, they're really good when they're doing what they're meant to be doing.
And, yeah, to dry stuff out as well. Hey, I've also been rolling quite well.
You rolled like never less than like a 15.
So competent.
Hey, everyone, we knew what kind of adventure we were having, so we built appropriate characters. Yep. There's no wizard who's like, oh, I'm not in my laboratory. Oh, what's a tree?
I should play that character.
No! No, Alex!
Perception check for everyone, please.
This is to represent during our watch.
Yes, this is each of your watches.
Okay. Remember your disadvantage.
Disadvantage if you don't have dark vision.
19.
23.
Okay, Bryn is just refusing to have a disadvantage. He rolled 19 and 17 this time.
And I have a plus 9, so 26 even with disadvantage.
And who takes first?
So it's same order. Yeah. So okay, it's cool. First, second is
so,
Kwame.
Piotr. It takes a little bit longer to be absolutely sure because of the nature of the visibility and the rain and blah, blah, blah. It's tracking you again and is beginning to approach the camp in the night again. And it looks like it's going to be approaching earlier rather than later this time.
I would like to use Primeval Awareness. As an action, I can spend one ranger spell slot to sense whether any aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, or undead are present within 1 mile of you, or within up 6 miles if you're in your favourite terrain.
Oof. Okay, give me a second, because...
You could have a real big report.
Your brain explodes! <Yeah. laughs> Give me a second. You, within 6 miles...
Yeah. I don't get exact location or numbers, I just get a vague sense.
There are some aberrations within 6 miles. That's not to be unexpected, given the nature of the background magic.
Yeah, close or far?
Far.
Okay.
You aren't detecting any of those creatures close.
Cool. Yeah, I'd probably hand over my watch as normal.
Okay.
If someone's going to interact with a strange creature, I actually would rather it was Kwame than me.
Kwame?
Yeah. Strange creature to strange creature. Yeah.
Not long after you take your watch, just as things really start to settle down, something comes to the very edges of the camp. You can start to hear it approaching. It is being quiet and stealthy. How stealthy? Okay, stealthy. That's how stealthy it's being. But you have dark vision, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. It starts to approach, and you get the impression that it's relying on the dark more than it should be. What you are seeing is not an animal. And it is not a man.
It's a manimal.
And on that, I think I'll end the episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
The approach of the manimal. Right. In that case, then, we'll all be back next week with more of this side quest adventure, because although Lydia will definitely be fine by next week, we record these in batches, so I hope you're okay, Liz.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by April Sumner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit at r/RustyQuill. Thanks for listening. This is quite fun for something we've thrown together at the last second.
Yeah!
Role playing!
It's just
turns out it's a good fun thing to do with friends.
I know, right?
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe, period, begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.